My guest today grew up in an orphanage with over 200 other children. 68 were her legally adopted brothers and sisters. Suffering, neglect, and abuse surrounded her, but she had a secret that saved her life. That secret she had from a child carried her through the toughest times and was and still is the reason for her successes in all areas of her life, including creating and then selling her salsa company to Campbell's for over $200 million. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Maggie Cook, gets vulnerable sharing her traumatic childhood growing up in an orphanage in Mexico to becoming a multimillionaire. Make sure you have pen and paper to take notes. We're going to talk to Maggie Cook in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. In today's podcast, my guest shares how, from a young age, she created clear visions of what she wanted her life to be. And this topic fits in perfectly with freedom fulfillment pillar number one, creating your vision. Listen carefully throughout the podcast to see how many ways Maggie created a vision and how it came to life. Look, creating a vision is the best way to keep yourself looking forward instead of focusing on the past or present, depending on your circumstance, which keeps you locked in to small and usually negative thinking. If you're like me, I couldn't do it in my past. How can I do it in my future? Right? That kind of thinking. But listen, your past does not dictate your future. Your past does not determine your future. If you don't get anything from this podcast, just write those phrases down. Your future depends on new thinking. That new thinking takes practice because your brain wants to keep you comfortable and cozy. And to your brain, comfortable is what it knows, even if it's abuse, even if it's ridicule. That's what your brain knows. So early on in my marriage, I knew something was wrong. I didn't have the words for it though, but I clearly felt something was off. I mean, I didn't like being insulted and belittled all the time, but I just kept trying, especially, you know, despite having been a rising star in corporate finance and a tech company in Silicon Valley. After my marriage and moving to the Middle East, all of a sudden, I couldn't do anything right. I was treated like a child, and it only got worse after my daughter was born. After she was born, let me tell you, I told myself that someday I'd get out of this marriage. I didn't know when, I didn't know how, but I knew I would. I just knew I couldn't live my life this way. So 20 plus years later, I'm preparing an international escape for my husband. I told myself hundreds of times that my daughter and I deserved a happy and joyful life, that I had one life to live and I was going to live it. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I believed it in my soul because I knew if I stayed, I wasn't going to survive. And as I look back, every time I believe something down to my soul, it manifested. And that's what you'll hear throughout this podcast interview too. All a vision needs is a sliver of hope. That sliver of hope becomes a seed for growth. The more you nurture that seed, that vision, the more it will grow. You can create a vision of the life you want. Too often, you know, people get impatient, me included. I'm not any different. when that vision doesn't become reality in the time frame we have in mind. Then what happens? You give up on your vision instead of pouring more, even pouring even more energy into what you're seeking in life. So dream, dream. It's okay to dream. Write it out, read it, say it, draw it, color it, make a vision board, breathe it, believe it, believe it, just believe it. You may often hear others say, don't worry about the how, which is true. Yeah. People get focused on, if they don't know the how, then how can it come to be? Because like, I have to know for sure exactly how. And that's just the opposite. Things are created by believing in it first. Then if you get focused on the how so much, then you lose focus and energy on the vision. And this is a mistake. You're all focused on the how, and then all of a sudden the vision just kind of disappears. That is why it doesn't happen. So go ahead right now, write down your dream. I was living in the Middle East in an abusive marriage, highly abusive marriage, far from my family and friends, no support team near me, no one. And I was so full of shame, which is another topic. I told no one for nearly 2 decades. Yet I created that dream. I didn't give specifics because I didn't even know then not to give specifics. So it was really easy for me not to give specifics. I could have never in a million years guessed that I would be here with you now, sharing my story in the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, that I would have started a business, that I would have become an international award-winning entrepreneur, that I would become a speaker and an award-winning author with my colleagues, that I would have found the love of my life, that I would be living a life of love, peace, and joy. If I kept to my thoughts when I was in the middle of my abuse, in the middle of it, when that hope was so tiny, it was barely a thread, but that's all it takes. That's all it takes. It blows my mind when I see my life now and how it was. And I said, remember I said, I was going to live this life. I wanted to live it. And that's what I'm doing. So I just kept an itsy bitsy flame of hope burning that I will have a better life. And you can too. Hang on to my hope. Hang on to my dreams. Hang on to my life and what I have done. Hang on to that if you're not there. And I can help you get there. I am sharing now another vision I have. Big one. It's a huge one. And that is to inspire and impact 100 million women worldwide with their children, to release the shackles of abuse. And the shackles of abuse are not just physical. It's the abuse, the shackles that you hold in your mind. So I can, you know, I want to be their guide so they learn to believe in themselves, to believe they deserve to be treated with kindness. Because my company is the Love is Kind Network. And this will lead to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world, one woman at a time. I invite you to be a part of this mission. Simply share this podcast with your friends and colleagues and ask them to please subscribe as well. That's how together we can help other women. The more who can hear this message of creating a vision that life is possible, no matter how deep you're in it, you got this. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Maggie Cook, who grew up in an orphanage in Mexico, won a basketball scholarship to a U.S. university, started her own salsa company, sold it to Campbell's Company, and is now an inspirational and motivational leader. Her wisdom pours out so that you can learn to create your vision, believe in yourself, and make the impossible dream possible. Maggie Cook will be here in a moment, and first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to Maggie Cook, inspirational and motivational leader. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Maggie Cook. Hi there, Maggie. I am so thrilled to have Maggie Cook. I heard her speak at a big convention last year, fell in love with her then, read her book, fell more in love with her, and I'm so happy you get to join us and share your brilliance.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to let our listener know a little bit more about you. I'm going to read your bio. Maggie Cook Garcia is an immigrant who was born in an orphanage in Mexico. She grew up with 68 siblings. She was recruited to play basketball for the Mexican national team, but broke her collarbone. She later immigrated to the U.S. on a basketball scholarship at the University of Charleston. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. After graduating, she became homeless. She entered a fresh salsa competition for the state of West Virginia and won unanimously and created Maggie's all-natural fresh salsas and dips with $800, a company that distributed products across 38 states to all major supermarkets such as Walmart, Sam's Club, Whole Foods. In 2015, Maggie sold her company to Campbell's Soup. What an amazing story. And that doesn't even touch what this woman really is. Let me tell you that. It's just the beginning. Oh, it's such a delight to have you participate in this. And I know you'll be an inspiration to so many who hear your journey. So just give us a little bit about your journey from where you were to, you know, all the magnificent things you've done.
Well, it was certainly unconventional the way that I grew up. When I moved to the U.S., I never met or heard of a family that grew up with 68 siblings. And it's truly an environment where you had to survive because there's only two caregivers and there's all of us. And
Yeah. We
grew ourselves up. So when I was a little kid, I was paired up with a young adult that lived there. And when I grew up, I was paired up with a little kid. So we were just growing each other up. So I consider myself to have mothered so many children, and other children mothered me. So, but it was a situation, circumstances where it's a third world country, is Mexico, and we're in the mountains in Michoacán. And there's nothing, there's no civilization. There's the only thing between you and the road is a barbed wire fence. And you see all kinds of suffering. You see kids with all kinds of illnesses or abuse or scars, unbelievable scars.
Yeah.
And there's things that are happening there because how can two caregivers take care of so many children? Because there were 68 of us, but there was other children that came in that weren't adopted.
Right.
That lived there. So at some points we had over 200 kids there. But it was a constant feeling of you having to survive. And one of the biggest things for me, I'm not sure if I talk about it in the book, but, and I'm just going to be very honest and vulnerable, is that I was always saying love doesn't exist.
Mm.
And the reason why is because I felt like I needed to be tough in order to protect myself and show a character that was, you're not going to mess with me, because I saw so many of my sisters being sexually abused or abused emotionally in so many different ways. So I always said, love doesn't exist. I'm tough. But that wasn't the right thing to do However, in that aspect, I always saw myself with hope, always had this hope that someday I would come out of there and become somebody and become a success. Mm-hmm. And so I saw myself as the super successful woman with a suit, you know, with heels and sitting behind a mahogany desk. And I didn't even know anything outside of, you know, where I was living. But I had hope. And so I was always looking for what could I do. I'm in this orphanage with dirt floors and cow pastures and poop everywhere. You could literally kick the poop, you know, when you played soccer or something in the fields.
Wow.
So how do you see yourself better in a situation, a circumstance where you're stuck from being born there to when you're 17? How do you change that? And for me, it was just, I had this mental, mindful escape where I would go away to the mountains, or I dug this cave. I think it's in my book.
Yes, it is.
I dug this cave with my knife collection that nobody could get to. And that was my secret hiding place for me to go in and kind of relax and meditate and be away from it all. And then when your name was called, you knew something was wrong. You were in trouble or something. So it was like, ah. But having a certain mental attitude, it had to be so prolonged. But I knew and I believed that I would come out of it at some point. And a lot of you are out there and you have challenges and circumstances that you're not stuck in a place where you really, you have choices, you have options. And all you have to do is look at those challenges. And I'm not calling them problems. It's just the challenges. But you have to look at the opportunity that those challenges have. Because when you look at the opportunity, then you're able to shift everything. If you change the way you look at things, you begin to shift at how to approach things differently and how to start creating change for your life.
You know, what I find so amazing at such a young age, you knew about meditation and going quiet. You got, even though you were in the rural area, but you still even more so got down to earth. You grounded yourself. You got into a quiet spot away from everybody else. And you had this incredible, I just think you're just beyond normal, Maggie, because you had this special gift really to create that hope when you didn't see anything. It's not like you had television and you were looking at things. You had nothing to even spark that hope, but it was in you. And I find that women who are maybe in an abusive relationship and they can see a lot of other things, they don't have the hope. You mm-hmm. created the hope. Mm-hmm. No matter what. And I find that so inspiring and so helpful.
And I was, when you are born into a disruptive or a bad home, you don't learn from watching other people doing good in relationships. So I had the same issue. I was in a cycle and I recognized those patterns. And when I was able to recognize those, mm-hmm. I stopped them and my life changed.
Yeah.
Tremendously. And I'm married now and it's been yes. so amazing, but it took a long time and I didn't see that until it was repetitive. And I said to myself, okay, I've seen this before. Enough is enough. And here it stops.
Yeah. Right. That's so important. It's like you start to recognize it, but you don't always recognize it in the beginning. So I want to just go in a little bit more. Well, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. And just to tell you how amazing this woman is, you heard in the bio that I read that she got a scholarship for a basketball scholarship. Now, if you're like me and if you're just listening, you would probably, even if you could see this, you're going to think, oh, well, she's probably, you know, 5'11", 6 foot, you know, really great. Well, she is really great and she is super fast, but she's 5'2". Now, if you're 5'2 and you can get a frigate, and the woman saw you just playing randomly and walked up to you, the coach, right? And just said, I want you on my team, kind of a thing. Another thing of you manifesting what you wanted, but here is living proof of what is possible when you want something, because you wanted that. You practiced and you were really good.
Yes, 5'2", and I remember I had to discover that I had to be really fast.
Yes.
I could score on post players that were 6 feet tall or more in college, right underneath the hoop, just because you had to be fast. But One of the things that I did was I was always looking for things to be better. I used to practice in the orphanage and the dirt court with blindfold. And I had an adopted sibling. His name was Pancho. We found him in a dumpster because he had spinal bifida. He was thrown away. So that week I had to carry him on my back because we were paired up. And I asked him to play a game with me. Just tell me to turn right, left, stop, you know, go back.
You're blindfolded.
While I'm dribbling the ball and I'm visualizing all these people coming after me. And so that's how I got really good at basketball. And that's how I got recruited to play for the Mexican national team.
And your scholarship to the United States. I mean, it's just an incredible story. So tell us a little bit about, as you were growing up, we kind of have an idea of probably a lot of neglect. I'm imagining a lot of neglect. So how would you describe how you grew up and how it impacted, you know, the how you were treated? And there seemed like to be a conflict. There's like a lot of compassion of taking care of all these children, but individually it was neglect and maybe you didn't feel loved. Can you describe the situation a little bit more so we see?
Well, it's impossible to people to really care and love for. And as a matter of fact, when I grew up and I was in college, I met with them, our caregivers, and I told them, you know, you can't keep getting more children because you can't have one-on-one with them. Mm. And their focus was mostly bringing more funds to the orphanage. And the way to do that is show that you have more kids. So it was obviously something that didn't work. But for me, I mean, just constantly, I had this fear, this constant fear that I was either going to suffer something very from moment to moment, traumatic. Or I could be killed because of the impact of the punishment. And I remember that I had these recurring nightmares of learning to fly, and they were chasing me to harm me. Mm. And I would learn to fly. In my dream, I would like start floating away, and I was so happy. And I would hide in the mountains, wait for the caregivers to leave, and I would come back to the orphanage and teach the other kids to fly so they could fly away with me.
Mm.
But then it was a nightmare because I could only save a few because I could only have a few. And that was very distressful for me because then I saw the orphanage in flames and I saw all these things happening. But it was, I think that the most impactful thing for me wasn't necessarily the physical abuse, but it was a psychological part of it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that type of form of suffering is felt and it's taken, you can take it with you for life if it's not dealt with correctly. But you're talking about being hungry for up to 2 to 3 weeks. I became a hunter. I was hunting my own food. I still have my knife that I used to hunt with. Mm. And just that and just being so afraid from moment to moment. You never knew if somebody was going to say, Maggie did this or that. And you were just punished for no reason at all. So it was like, it was a never ending. And I know that our caregivers try to do the best they could. But if you think about what happens in a mind when there's too many kids pulling and so many things happening, you can go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I always said, if I ever have kids, I'm going to have one or two because then I could just love them and have that. And being at the orphanage, it's crazy, but it was a better environment than being on the streets, but it was still not.
Yes.
You know?
Sure, because we didn't, you know, we need love and attention. And, you know, in my situation, I was married to, and it was to a Lebanese man. I was in the Middle East. I'm American from California. And it was the same, but different, you know, it was, and that's the link. You felt the fear. I felt fear and the terror. And it was the mind stuff until I was going crazy. I thought, what's wrong with me? I could do well in everything else, but not my marriage. And I was just, you know, ground down into just powder of how I eat. So you lose who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's your time to get, you know, it's your way to get back. What are some of the ways that, you know, you talked about your hope. What other visions did you have to kind of drive you to continuing on that path of hope?
Well, it was a gift that I was able to come out of the orphanage and get a scholarship in the U.S., And it always happened by accident, but there are no accidents.
Right.
And I broke my collarbone. I couldn't play for the Mexican national team. And then my caregiver, who's a doctor, said, your dreams are over. And what do you believe when a doctor tells you a certain thing? They're an authority figure. But I always believe that if something bad happens, there's a reason and there's something better. And if I wouldn't have had that mentality, then I wouldn't be speaking to you today, because when we arrived and my parents took a bus, the school bus, to tour the United States to raise funds for the orphanage. And we stopped in West Virginia at a picnic, and there was a basketball court outside. And if I would have believed what I was told, I wouldn't have played that day if I was depressed and everything. But I played and I was excited. And that's when I got recruited to play basketball for the University of Charleston.
Right.
And so it's that mentality, is that no matter what happens, you can either choose, and it's something that I do every single morning. You can choose the life to take control of you, or you can take control of your life. And the moment you wake up, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Are you going to your phone, the news, the first thing that you wake up? No, you are centered. You are grateful. Even if it's the smallest things, like, oh, these sheets are so amazing and comfortable, and I'm so grateful that I have this bed now. I'm so grateful that I have a car. I'm so grateful that I have a business, that I have a partner. Just on and on and on. And what happens with gratitude is opens this vortex of attraction that brings more of the things to be grateful for. And that's one of the things that I really truly learned and appreciate so much, because the body cannot feel fear or be in the state of love at the same time. You either choose one or the other. So if you choose, you can only be in one state or the other. So if you choose to feel love and to feel gratitude, then it changes everything. And then your day just keeps getting better and better and better. But it's really interesting, because your thoughts will come in quickly. Mm-hmm. And the way that I notice them is through my gut.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you feel that, you're like, okay, what is that? What's that feeling? What am I thinking? Because it's subconscious. Like, you sometimes don't even realize that that's happening. And the moment you feel like off and bad, you stop and think, okay, this is happening. I'm going to change it around. What can I replace it with? And it's an onward thing that you have to continuously do.
Yeah, it's nonstop working on your brain. I call it rewiring your brain to change your thoughts, especially yes. when you've been pounded into, you know, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not a contributor, you know, all this negativity on mm-hmm. top of your own insecurities. But then when you have somebody who's with you, you know, mm-hmm. your family and your parents in this case, and my husband in my case, is that you start to lose who you are and how you believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love your strategy of being open to gratitude, because you can just talk about it, your whole heart opens up, mm-hmm. and that's when you can receive. I'm still focusing on how young you were when you did all these things. So you were still ahead of the curve, I think, of most people, as far as your ability to vision, to believe in yourself. And that was always, you were always being challenged to believe in yourself. Like, you had the episode with your business, right? When you were growing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you maintain that belief in yourself? Who you are, your own truth, right? Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with Maggie Cook, inspirational speaker. How do you maintain that belief in yourself? Who you are, your own truth, right?
It all comes down to hope. And the most important thing that I talk about when I'm on stages is really discovering or rediscovering or understanding your why. Why is it that you have that vision? It creates the passion, the drive to get to where you are, to where you want to be. So all of a sudden, all these things that are so-called challenges, they're no challenges anymore. Why? And while you're doing that, you're touching people's lives. You're impacting the world. I came into the production area one day, and actually the office, and by that time we had a 20,000 square foot facility. And my office manager, she was Latin, she was from Mexico, said, "You're so positive all the time. You're just so positive." And I was like, I felt bad. I was like, I didn't know that was a bad thing. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to let somebody change that. And so I was always like, yeah, come on. I would do push-ups with the team members before we went to production. I would, you know, all kinds of stuff. And people loved being there. The culture was amazing. My team asked me to stay there instead of going back home because they had problems at home. That's the kind of environment. And everything is felt. Everything emanates from you as a leader. And they see it. They see you. They see it. And they begin to adapt those things. And it creates change for them. You have to be that beacon of light for yourself, but also for them. And then you begin to see the impact that you're doing in the world around you. And it's felt in the products that you're selling, the people are tasting, the people that you come in contact with, the new deals that come. It's like a light. I used to go to the center of the production area before the team got in there every morning. And I would close my eyes and visualize this light coming into me and then out of me and surrounding the entire place and touching everything and touching the people. The tomatoes are about to be cut. The pencil in my office I was about to grab and rewrite my goals for the day. The products that are going to touch the people in supermarkets, the buyers that are buying for me, everything. And it was part of gratitude. It's such an amazing experience because you are emanating all that. And then people come in and it's felt, you know, I had often buyers or salespeople come through my office, and the moment they turned the corner because our plant was so big, they're like, "I saw you and I knew. The moment I saw you, I knew you were the owner." And you could just tell that you have this light. And I was like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Well, because it is felt. Mm-hmm. And there's no choice. There's no other choice. It's a decision that you need to make, that you make instantly. That how is my life going to feel today? How am I going to feel? What's the decision that I'm going to take that continues to change my life, the rest of my life? Because we have... all we have is this moment right now. As I speak the words to you, this is the moment. That's all there is. There's what I just said a minute ago, it's gone. This is the moment that we have, and we have to take that and move forward and be the best that we can be in every single moment, as our lives are very important in this life that we're living with purpose.
Yes, absolutely. It's just... and that's my dream, is to inspire all these women that their lives matter, that you know, your life matters, and you made the choice. And it's not like the journey is easy, right? It's not like we are just a bowl of cherries, right? I mean, but you know, to me, like you, it's just like your freedom is important, freedom to be you, and to just fight for your own freedom in a way, because you have to believe in yourself when nobody does.
Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of rejection. And I had to believe in myself. I was turned down by banks. I was rejected by potential future team members. I remember opening the door one day because I was hiring. Walmart came and asked for us to be in all supermarkets across the country. So I had to hire, and we were running 24 hours to production. And I was putting out, you know, to hire people. They rang the doorbell. I ran from the office downstairs, opened the door, and I said, "Hi, my name is Maggie. Are you for an interview? I'm the owner. Are you here for an interview?" And the guy was probably, I was in the mid-20s, right? And he was probably in his late 40s, and he was a white guy. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, and he backed away, and he says, "You're a woman. How old are you?"
One, you're a woman, and two, you're young.
Yeah, and then he stepped back and he said, "No thanks." And I said, "Thank God he didn't know I was gay too, because he probably would have murdered me or something." but my reaction to that, I was happier. You know why? Yeah. Because I knew that that was exactly the person that I didn't want to attract in my business and be around. The, yes.
Exactly.
So that was the positive thing. That was the yes, I'm glad I had this experience. Not because and a lot of Latin minority people, women, think that they're at a disadvantage, but they're at the greatest advantage. Because if I wasn't a woman, a minority, Walmart wouldn't have called, because they, at that time, they were running a $4 billion stimulus. They wanted to bring in women and minorities. They wanted to spend that money to grow, to have that impact. And guess what? The greatest advantage, right?
Yes.
So instead of seeing yourself as I'm a minority, I am at a disadvantage, you have the greatest advantage. And again, it's all about how you change the way that you're looking at things in your life, your perspective, that you makes that instant transformation in your life. It's pretty amazing.
just follow her. You'll see how amazing she is. What about, I know for me, learning as I've been going through my own healing journey and moving forward is having compassion for myself. And I find I still need to do that. Creating self-compassion, self-kindness, forgiveness. Can you share your journey, your thoughts on that? How has it been for you?
Well, remember that story that I was telling you about, I was dreaming and flying?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in college, I started to have those recurrent nightmares, and my dorm was with another basketball player, and they would wake me up constantly, almost every day. I was sweating and I was screaming because of my nightmares.
Wow.
And it was the dream thing, you know, that I was trying to rescue these kids. And the moment that those nightmares went away is when I realized that I had to change that into something different, a different meaning, give it a different meaning in my life. And so I actually tattooed symbols in my each shoulder blade, like my wings, to dream and to fly. Because the meaning that I wanted to give it was to dream in life and to fly, to become a tremendous success so that I can help others. And the fly part, the translation is first love yourself.
First love yourself.
Yes.
Love that. Dream,
to dream and to fly. First love yourself. You have to be willing to, I used to give everything that I had. You have to be willing to give yourself everything first. Emotionally, financially, everything, intimately with you, because how could your cup overflow?
Mm-hmm.
If you're lacking within you, how could you really help others and with your business, no matter what business it is that you're in,
mm-hmm.
with your partner, with your friends, with your family, you have to be the catalyst for yourself first.
Yeah.
You have to learn to love yourself first. Yeah, I mean, you just have to continue to change the way that you're looking at yourself and be that force that you say, okay, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this anymore to myself. I'm going to recognize, because with the research that I come across is that science is saying that it takes, now it takes 21 days to reprogram your subconscious mind. So if I get in the mirror every day and I say, Maggie, you're super beautiful, you're powerful, you're empowering, you're kind, you're love, and you say these things to yourself over and over, your mind, it becomes believable because it's a repetition. And
right.
You really need to believe these things in order for you to change the core of your spirit, in order for you to allow that light to shine. And scars are hard because they're there forever. You know, I was going through a couple months ago, I was mentioning that I started having those nightmares again from my childhood. And the reason why is because something triggered it. Something that I was going about in my daily life triggered it. And I remember the first thing that I did was I said to myself, at night, I'm going to program my subconscious mind that when I have a dream like that, I'm going to wake up. So I'm telling my mind before I go to bed, if I have a dream like that, I'm going to wake up.
Yeah,
please wake
like,
me up.
Stop it. Stop,
stop
it. Yeah.
Stop
mm-hmm.
it. Pause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when that happened the next night, I just woke up like this. And what I did was, okay, Maggie, let's change the ending.
Oh.
And I went back to sleep and I changed the ending to my dream, and it was so beautiful.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
You are amazing on how you can just, you know, you just, what you think, what you envision, and what you think, then it happens.
You have to, you, it, I and think you it to, happens. Yeah. It happens more if you really want it. Like if you really want it and you're emotional about it.
Yeah.
And you want that change.
In your heart.
You believe it in your heart. It manifests because you want it so badly that your body is working with your subconscious. Because your subconscious, you're not really awake. You're in that state. That's why I do meditation and affirmations right before I go to bed and when I awaken, because I know my subconscious is more programmable. So if I have a limiting belief, then I can change that and tell it to myself every single day. It becomes believable and I become manifesting all these other things that I've always wanted in my life and they continue to come.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. How about, I know for me, and I don't know if it was for you, that when I was in my relationship, because I kind of lost my voice, metaphorically, I was afraid to ask for anything because if I asked, he would just scream at me. So I just got used to not asking. And then, you know, if you're in business, you need to ask for the sale. You need, you're asking all the time in relationships and just things. Did you have that as a challenge? And how did you, how did it come up?
It was a big challenge for me. And I think as women, we are afraid to ask. I was surrounded by very powerful men growing up and you couldn't even speak up. There was silence when they came in the room. You couldn't express yourself. Everything that was said was, you had to hear it. There was no option of contributing in a talk or have a communication because it was very, it could end up in a beat up or something. I mean, it was very powerful. For me in relationships is that, you know, when I noticed the patterns, I decided that I no longer wanted those things. So when I ended those relationships, like I'll give you an example. I've been in 8-year relationship, 4-year relationship, 2-year relationships. And the moment that I decided that enough was enough, because I realized that I was dating people that had the similar characteristics or character as one of my caregivers.
Yes. Yes. Right. Where you, because it, we see that and we get used to it. So it doesn't, and your brain doesn't think it's a big deal. You know, it's, that's what it knows. It doesn't know that it's not good. It just knows.
Yes.
It's common. Yes.
So you see this in them and you're like, and you feel sort of kind of like, oh, maybe this is the right thing because I feel comfort there.
You feel comfortable because
it's comfortable. Yes. And so, and then you go into the relationship and it's abusive. Exactly
right.
How that, and it's like the universe or God is telling you, pay attention to that. And there's a reason why you're suffering. And this is me speaking to you, telling you, you know, I want you to recognize this. And I want you to grow from this because you don't grow unless you change those things that are happening. So everything, all the relationships that I've been in the past were cycles. And I recognized that and I decided enough is enough. One day I ended my last, it was an 8-year relationship. And I said, I am going to go out and meet people and date people. It doesn't matter if I go out for a week, a month, or a year. If I recognize one of the things that I don't want, and I did make a list of things that I will not, I'm not willing to accept for myself.
Right. Red flags.
And the things that I absolutely love in a person.
Right.
And if one of those things came up, no excuses, I wasn't going to feel bad about breaking up with anybody.
Yes.
I was going to love myself first.
Yes.
First love myself and say, I'm sorry, this is not working. And I hurt so many people because they were like, I can't believe that for one little thing you left me but it wasn't anything but myself first. It was, I am not willing to take on the same patterns of the past. And I'm telling you, it happened with at least 5 or 6 or 7 people when I started dating again. But it was just like a test for me. Like, is this what I really want in my life?
Yeah.
And I ended up meeting someone that's super amazing. There was, our 4th year anniversary came up this month.
Yeah.
And it's the happiest that I've ever been. Just because I wasn't willing to settle for anything more, anything less than loving myself and becoming that the stopping the cycle of my own personal abuse and the abuse that other people were giving me. And this relationship is nothing like my caregivers, either of them, nothing. there's a peace, there's a love, there's a connection, there's something, joy. Things that I've, yeah, joy.
Joy. Yeah. Joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's what I found too. And this is one of the things how I help the women. It's just like, if you're going to be keeping attracting, you keep attracting, whether it's in business or personal relationships, that which has been familiar to you when you were growing up, or however you, or whenever you experienced the abuse. And it's just like, until you start to notice that this is not acceptable behavior ever, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One time is not acceptable.
Right.
Right. Because if
it's going to happen one time, it's going to happen again.
Exactly. And to start to know. So when I first started dating, the same thing happened. And it's like, yeah, no, this is not right. And now, I mean, too, I'm just in the most loving relationship. It's just like love, peace, and joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you just feel it in your heart.
Yes.
And it's just, it's not difficult. It's easy. It's just... Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing is, it's always a give mutually, both ways.
Yes, exactly.
And it's always growing.
Yes. And that's the relationship I have too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like
endless giving.
Like, who loves each other more? It's like, I love you more. No, you don't.
Yes.
Right. But you know, we talked a little bit about our voice being lost. And what I've noticed too, I had personal health issues, and just about every other woman who has been in an abusive relationship has had some major health issue. And we were talking a little bit before about yours. And if you could just share what yours is, and because I believe that, you know, when we keep that, when we're abused, it's, and we have to keep it in, we can't share our voice. It, you know, it's like a melting, a pressure cooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where things are boiling inside. Mm-hmm. Because it can't get out. And so the body's saying, yeah, I'm sorry, but this is not really helping me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I've had many health issues in the past, but I think the biggest one that I thought it would be permanent was my thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And the thyroid is the hormone that controls everything in your body. And it's a tremendous energy point in your body. And I had to first, you know, learn to fly.
Yeah.
And then I had to really look into like the healthy eating and the exercising and the giving to my body, loving my body that way. Self-care.
Really big time self-care.
What happened was that when I got thyroid disease, I went to conventional medicine, which I wish that I wouldn't have done that, but I didn't know any better back then. But they actually gave me radiation to drink and put me in this biohazard room, and they destroyed my thyroid completely. So I was on Synthroid. But because of the self-care that I've been doing, my doctors are
shocked,
dumbfounded. They're like, how is it possible that you've regenerated your thyroid?
Yeah.
And it's because everything is repairable in your body. Your body is always looking to repair itself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're giving
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's such a great, great story too, because all these things that happen to us, you know, when we start to focus on ourselves and believe in ourselves, love ourselves, be kind to ourselves. You know, there's such a huge shift, and we can create a joyful, happy, prosperous life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tell our listener, you know, how they can find out more about you, maybe how they can get your book, which is fabulous, just a fabulous book.
Yes. So you can go to online. My website is maggiecook.com, Maggie with one G.
Mm-hmm.
COOK. And when you first go into the page, you're going to get a little pop-up. It's a free gift. It's the 3 R's of highly successful people. And I focus on resilience, relentless, and resourcefulness, which are the 3 things that for me have helped me overcome everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to look at those. And it almost seems like every challenge that I've had, I had to apply all 3.
Yes.
Because if you get rejected, what do? Your resilience, you bend, but you don't break. Mm-hmm. How are you resourceful? You're resourceful in the way that it's not about money, people, things. It's about the inner resources that we have that we think about to come up with the solutions that we need to overcome those challenges, the opportunities in those challenges. So That's where they can go. You can also, my website also has the link to my book. It's also available on Amazon. And yeah. So the website for those two things.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, that's wonderful. Everybody, make sure you go there. It'll be in the show notes. And our final question, Maggie, is what does love is kind mean to you?
It goes back to learn to fly. Learn to fly. You have to be kind to yourself. You have to learn to love yourself first. And that wasn't easy for me to learn, especially when I was saying to myself, love doesn't exist. Because I think that sort of energy did help because I wasn't abused as much as other girls were when I was growing up. But I'm no longer in that environment. You're not in that suffering environment. And if you are, you can make the change, the decision to stop everything, to say enough is enough. And but you have to be willing to start with yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's where it all begins. Well, thank you so much, Maggie, for your time, for your brilliance, for sharing all of your strategies and tips. If they just take one thing, you know, they're going to transform their lives. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.